Hello, everyone. Today we have our second midweek Lenten service. Our title of our service is Crossroads Number 2, From Bethany to Jerusalem. And our reading will come from Mark chapter 11. If you'd like to open up your Bibles, I'll be using the New Evangelical Heritage version of our scripture today for our message from Mark chapter 11. From Bethany to Jerusalem, Jesus expects FIGS, figs. Let us begin. Lord God, you have brought us safely to this hour of prayer. We thank you for providing all that we need for body and life. Bless us who have gathered in your name. Forgive our sins. Speak to our hearts. Dispel our sorrows with the comfort of your word, and receive our hymns of thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our living Savior, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Passion History reading is our second chapter. The title is Jesus Prays in Gethsemane, and he is arrested. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," Jesus said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then Jesus returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When Jesus came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, Jesus said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." And just as Jesus was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted Jesus and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized Jesus, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. This is our Passion History reading. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. And we turn then to our scripture for this evening, the Crossroads Number 2, from Bethany to Jerusalem. As I said, our reading will then come from Mark chapter 11. We'll hear verses 12 to 14 first of all. The next day after they had set out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. When he saw a fig tree in leaf in the distance, he went to see if he might find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, since it was not the season for figs. Jesus said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. And then we move down to verse 20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered down to the roots. Peter remembered and said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus replied, "Have faith in God. I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, everything that you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." This is God's word. Life is full of expectations, isn't it? Your boss at job would expect that you accomplish certain tasks during the day, lest you want to become unemployed. A teacher would expect the students to be done with their homework. And you came to the hour of worship today expecting to hear a sermon. Life is full of expectations. As we continue on our journey on the crossroads, we see Jesus also had expectations. He had expectations of what he was going to have to endure. He had expectations of others, be it his disciples or his enemies. Today, in our lesson, we find him having expectations of a fig tree. It's his expectations of this fig tree that will serve as a teaching tool to see what Jesus expects of us. The setting for our journey today is Monday morning, the day after Palm Sunday. Jesus had received the hero's welcome the previous day as he entered Jerusalem, but he was not able to take a look around town before heading back to the suburb of Bethany for the night. And now on Monday, Jesus and his disciples are eager to check out the happenings of Jerusalem. They head out early in the morning, probably without breakfast, which is where our lesson picks up. The next day, as our text says, after they had set out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. When he saw a fig tree in leaf in the distance, he went to see if he might find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, since it was not the season for figs. Jesus said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Upon first reading this, it seems like Jesus woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Why would he curse a tree for not having figs when it wasn't even the season for fruit? Wasn't he expecting a little much of this tree? Did Jesus resent Mondays as much as maybe you and I do? To understand Jesus' disgust, we need to know a little about fig trees. Fruits and leaves are supposed to appear simultaneously on a fig tree. Therefore, since this tree was in leaf, Jesus had every right to expect to find his breakfast on its branches. But the tree was not what it seemed, and that's what upset him. This tree flaunted its leaves from a distance, but upon closer inspection, it was worthless. It was empty. The tree was a hypocrite, good on the outside, worthless on the inside. And so Jesus cursed it. The next day, Jesus and his disciples were once again walking this road from Bethany to Jerusalem when they saw the same fig tree, and Peter calls attention to it by saying, "Hey, teacher, the fig tree you cursed, it's withered." And so what can we learn from this little visual aid that Jesus uses? What can we learn as we walk this particular crossroad with Jesus and his disciples? In the closing verses, Jesus tells us what he wants. What he wants, what he expects, is for us to bear fruit. He doesn't want followers who simply put on a good show. Rather, he expects there to be some substance. He expects to find figs. But what is that fruit? What are the figs Jesus expects to find in us? And plain and simple, it's faith. On the road from Bethany to Jerusalem, Jesus instructs his disciples, have faith in God. Faith in God is what Jesus looks for in each one of us. And isn't faith in God what Lent is all about? Perhaps like no other time of the year, Lent is an opportunity for us to review just where we stand with our God. On the one hand, Lent leads us to contemplate the seriousness of our sin and how God cannot stand to be in its presence. On the other hand, Lent leads us to contemplate how God dealt with our sin through his Son, that Son who then becomes the cornerstone of our faith. Yes, faith. Faith in God is what the message of Lent is intended to produce and strengthen. And faith in God is not dead. It's not withered. Faith in God shows. Let me say that again, noting the first letter of each word. Faith in God shows. F-I-G-S. As a cheerleader would say, what's that spell? It spells figs. Just as Jesus expected figs from that tree lining the crossroad from Bethany to Jerusalem, you might say Jesus expects figs, F-I-G-S, from us. But how will faith in God show itself in our lives? The first way, he says, faith will show itself in prayer. After saying, have faith in God, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him. And therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. It will be yours. To get the full effect of what Jesus is saying here, you have to picture the distance, or the disciples on his crossroad. They're on a steep mountainous ridge heading west to Jerusalem, which sits about maybe 2,500 feet above sea level. But if they look back to the east, they can see the Dead Sea, which is located maybe about 1,600 feet below sea level. Jesus uses this view to point out what it means to have faith in God. It means trusting that God has the ability to do anything. He could even throw this mountain from where they were climbing into the depths of the sea. That's how powerful God is. And it's that unbelievable power that the disciples were connected to through faith in God. And so Jesus encourages them to show that faith, to tap into that power through prayer. He says, because your God is so powerful, pray with a heart that doesn't doubt. Pray with a heart that God can do anything he promises. But we don't just hear Jesus telling us to pray. Time and time again, as we travel with Jesus during this season of Lent, we see him praying in the upper room. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see him praying so earnestly that we were told that sweat was like drops of blood. Certainly one of the things to marvel about Jesus' last week, one of the things to marvel about Jesus' life, is to see him spending so much time in prayer. And then when we examine the content of his prayers, we stand even more in awe. We don't find him praying selfishly. It's got to be done this way, my way or the highway. Rather, we find him submitting to the wisdom of his heavenly Father as he prays, your will be done. We don't find him praying only for himself. We find him praying for others, his friends, his followers, and yes, even his enemies. As he hung on the cross, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. Which leads to another fig that Jesus looks for in us. Not only does he expect faith in God to show itself in prayer, faith in God also shows itself in a forgiving spirit. Jesus goes on in our lesson to say, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive that person so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. What's the connection between faith in God and a forgiving spirit toward others? Let's think this through. If we refuse to forgive someone, we are saying that people need to atone for or suffer the consequences of their own sins, right? They got to make up for it. Now, if that's the case, what are we telling God? We're telling him not to forgive us either. We're telling him, I need to make right for my sins. I need to pay. And that, my friends, is not faith. That is not trusting in God to do what he promises. That's trusting in ourselves to make things right with God. On the flip side, when we do have a forgiving spirit toward others, indicating that we indeed do have faith in God, then look what happens. Your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins, Jesus said. Faith receives the blessings that God promises. In this case, faith receives the blessings of forgiveness that God offers through Jesus. Now, just like we talked about in regards to prayer, Jesus doesn't just tell us to show our faith through a forgiving spirit. He demonstrates what that forgiving spirit looks like. Consider the way he handled Peter. In a few weeks, we're going to hear how Peter denied knowing Jesus. But not long after that, Jesus will assure Peter of his forgiveness by reinstating Peter as one of his gospel workers. Or think about that thief on the cross. In one scene, he's hurling insults on Jesus. And in the next scene, we hear Jesus forgiving him his sin by saying, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Whether it was to a friend or to a foe, Jesus freely and frequently offered forgiveness. As recipients of that forgiveness through faith, may we freely and frequently offer that forgiveness to others as well. That's the fig Jesus wants to find in us. Now, one more thing needs to be said. If faith in God shows itself in prayer, and if faith in God shows itself in a forgiving spirit, what if I don't always see that in my life? What if my prayer life is riddled with doubts? What if I struggle forgiving others? What does that mean? I don't have faith. A wise professor once said, "Whenever I look inside of me for my faith, the little bugger hides." His point being that in order to answer the question whether or not we have faith, we cannot look at the roadmaps in our own hearts. Rather, we need to follow the crossroads mapped out in God's Word. These crossroads that we're traveling lead us to our Savior who prays for us, our Savior who forgives us. When the Holy Spirit guides us to follow these crossroads as He is right now, the stronger our faith will be and the more figs our Savior will see. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll close then with prayers. First of all, Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me today. Forgive me all my sins. Graciously keep me this coming night. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. And we pray the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. God bless your day. God bless your worship. Next week will be Crossroads number 3 from the Upper Room to Gethsemane. God bless your week.